Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Today, we are looking at Psalm 101. We've been going through the fourth book of Psalms, right? The fourth book of Psalm has been a very helpful book for us. It kind of walks us through the process of building our confidence and our trust in God, right? Especially in the times when it's really difficult, the times of struggle, when we're like, you know, we're going through tough times and we want to understand, what does it mean for us to have confidence in God, even in times when it's hard? And this book 4 helps us. It reminded us, just in the last couple of weeks, to look back, to remember. Remember to remember. Remember to remember. Oh, that's a good one, right? Remember to remember. Remember His goodness. Remember His faithfulness. Even in times where we may not be able to see it directly in our lives, in the present moment, we know that He is good. We know that He is faithful because of our past. As you fill your mind with the memories of the times that you have seen God's trustworthiness, then you respond to that by worshiping God, right? This is what we looked at last week, Psalm 96. That worship flows out in singing praises to God, but also in declaring His goodness to those around you. He is the center of worship, and we sing to Him, but we sing about Him to others as well. And as we do that, as we praise Him, we are actually joining all of creation and looking to the future in expectation of the time when He will one day return to make all things right again. Right? So in the same way that we trust in His timing for all of creation, so also in that same way we trust in His timing for our own lives as well. As in all of creation, expectantly praising Him, looking forward to that future day when He makes all things right, so also we in our personal lives, in expectation, looking to the past to remember, praising Him in the present, looking forward to the future, trusting in His timing, knowing that He will, in the perfect timing, will make all things right. This is what we saw in Psalm 96, right? And there is a specific aspect of Psalm 96 that I want to kind of point into, hone in on a little bit, because worshiping God isn't just about the words of praise that we give to Him. It isn't just about the songs we sing and the words of praise that come out of our mouth, but it is also from the praise that we give from the lives that we live. Psalm 96:9 says this, honor and majesty are before Him. I messed up. I put in the wrong verse. I'm just going to say it. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Psalm 96:9 says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. What does it mean to worship God in the beauty of holiness? Well, today we're going to look at that phrase and we're going to kind of open it up a little bit, to see what exactly worshiping God in the beauty of holiness means. And the person who's going to help us with that is actually none other than King David himself. Yes, he's back. We have been missing King David for a while. He hasn't been showing up a lot in the last couple of books. And today we get to see, in fact, David only writes 2 psalms in book 4. He only wrote like 1 or 2 psalms in book 3. And this is one of those psalms that we get to look at of David's, that David wrote. David writes Psalm 101 as Israel's king. In David's life, he had experienced that God's promises were not just empty words. See, throughout David's life, he had seen how God's words, the promises that He had given, weren't just empty words. They were true. They were reliable. They were trustworthy. And so David chooses not to just let his praises be empty words either. Just as God's promises are not empty words, so he wants his praises to not be empty words either. So he chooses to not only worship God with his words, but also worship God with his heart. And in Psalm 101, we're going to see what it means for David to actually want to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We see what David's desire looks like, and we're going to learn from him. We're going to see what it means. What does it mean to worship God in the beauty of holiness? How is my heart connected to praising God? So we're going to learn through that. Psalm 101, we're going to start at verse 1. Psalm 101, verse 1 says this, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. This is interesting. David starts out by praising God. This is his first response. Father, you are good. You are merciful to me. You are just. You are true. You are kind. You make all things right. And I am going to sing about it. I look back on all the ways you've shown mercy in my life. And how you make all things right in your timing. And I respond to you in worship. I will sing songs to you. I will praise you. But then David wants his worship to go beyond his singing and his praise. And so how does he do that? Take a look at verse 2. It's an interesting verse. It says this, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. David wants his worship to be more than just words of praise. He wants his worship to flow out from the rest of his life too. Just as his words flow out praise to him, he wants his heart to also flow out praise to God. This is good for us to see this. It isn't just our words in which God finds pleasure and joy from. It's also our behavior, how you and I live each day, that has a huge impact. God sees that and he finds joy and pleasure in the purity of worship and how we live. It is true that we need God's presence in our lives to do this. Oh, when will you come to me, God? Father, I need you. I need your presence in my life. Not only do I want to sing praise to you, but I want to live in a way that glorifies you, that honors you, that makes you, that gives you joy and pleasure. But Father, in order for me to do that, I need you. David humbly recognizes that. Oh, God, when are you going to come to me? I need your help. He starts his pure heart living at home. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Let's be honest. Sometimes it's easier to worship God out in the public, among your brothers and sisters, here in a church atmosphere where we're gathered together as fellow believers in Christ. It's much easier to walk a holy life than it is when you're at home with no one else but your Heavenly Father. It's a lot easier to worship God with others than it is when you're alone in these moments. But see, here's the thing. These moments of being alone with God is when you offer him an offering of a pure heart. These are the moments when you're aware of his presence in your life, when you are home alone. Even if no one else is around, you know that God is with you. And so you worship him not only with your words, but also with your heart. You want your home to be a place of worship and how you behave with a pure heart. This was David's desire. God, as you are pure and as you are holy, so I want my life, my behavior, when I'm alone in my house, to be pure and holy. And my living a pure and holy life, keeping my heart pure and holy, is the very way in which I respond in worship to your goodness, to your mercy, to your faithfulness. This is David's desire. It is true that he did not do this very well all the time. He did fail, sometimes miserably, in doing this, right? But for David, this was his heart. This is what he wanted. This was his desire. So what was his plan? How is he going to accomplish this goal of worshiping God with a pure heart? Well, the rest of the psalm is basically how he actively works in keeping a pure heart. And it has a lot to do with how he protects his heart. How do you protect your heart? Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about actively protecting your heart? We do a lot of things that, you know, things that are valuable to us, things that we really find that are important to us. We find ways to protect it, do we not? When you buy a house, that's a pretty big investment. And so you do things consistently to maintain, to protect your house. You make sure that the roof has no leaks. If there's a leak, you repair it. You do all kinds of maintenance on your house. You protect yourself from termite damage. You do things to protect your home. We do the same thing in protecting our phones. We put a case on our phone. And we do all kinds of things to make sure that our phone doesn't break. We even protect our children, right? This is the parents. We love our children. We value them. They're precious to us. And so we do things to protect them and to keep them safe. So the question is, how about your heart? How much value do you place on the purity of your heart? What do you do to protect your heart? And the question is, what can you do to protect your heart so that out of it will flow pure, holy worship to God? So in this psalm, David shows us a few ways in which we can do that through how he tried to do it. One of the ways to protect your heart we find is by protecting it through what you see. Protecting it through what you see. Your eyes are one of the gateways into your heart. So what you see is actually an access point to what you let into your heart. And so David chooses to protect that access point. Look at verse 3. It says this: I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. What you look at will affect your heart. And what affects your heart will affect your actions. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work, the actions of them that turn aside. It will not cleave to me. He protects his heart. Realizing this, David chooses to protect his heart by guarding his eyes. He does not want anything that will defile his heart from getting in. And so he keeps his heart pure by protecting one of the ways in which his heart is affected. He keeps his heart pure so that he can worship in a pure way that flows out of his heart. It's interesting, the connection of a pure heart and worshiping God. David actually talks about this in a previous psalm, Psalm 24. This is what he says in verses 3 and 4. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Who will come up and worship God in his presence? Verse 4 says this: He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Clean hands, your actions that come from a pure heart. These hands, these heart, these are the hands that lift up their hands to praise God. Clean hands, a pure heart that displays God's glory in his life. And so David chooses to protect his heart. He doesn't do it well. What's interesting is this. One of the saddest moments of David's life is when he let go of guarding his eyes. When David fell into the sin of adultery with Bathsheba, it started when he chose not to protect his eyes. And everything that happened after that was because one morning he chose not to protect his eyes. This is helpful for us. This is helpful for us to see how important it is that we protect our heart by guarding our eyes. In the same way that we protect our hearts by being careful about what we see, we can also protect our hearts by being careful about who we choose to spend time with. This is really important. It's a relationship gate. David understood this. Listen to what he says in verse 4. Psalm 101:4 says this, "A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person." Your relationships, the people that you choose to spend close time with, they will impact your heart. It can't be in a good way, and it can't be in a bad way, depending on how they affect you. Some relationships can actually be very, very harmful in how the person affects your heart, right? And to be honest, here's the interesting thing. Sometimes it's easier for us to choose to protect a relationship over protecting our heart. Sometimes, and this is true for any one of us, sometimes the relationship that we have, we value that relationship and we choose, even though this relationship that we have, the time that we spend with this other person actually harms our heart, defiles our heart because of the time that we spend with this person, we choose to value the relationship of the person over valuing our heart. What's interesting is this. Sometimes in the effort of keeping the relationship with another person, another human being, even while that relationship is causing harm not only to our heart. And here's the thing, sometimes those relationships that we try so hard to maintain, there will come a day where one day that person that you tried to maintain that relationship will break off the relationship in an instant. And yet we try to maintain that relationship only, and even when we're doing that, we are hurting the relationship of our Heavenly Father, who chooses to never leave us or forsake us. Value your heart as you worship the one who will never leave you or forsake you. The relationships that we have are very important. David chooses to protect his heart from people who would defile his heart, from people who would cause harm to his relationship with his Heavenly Father. So what do we do? How do we protect our heart in our relationships? Look at verse 6. We're going to jump ahead a verse. Mine eyes, this is so interesting. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. It isn't just, this is so interesting. David doesn't just actively pull away from relationships that would hurt his heart. He actively pursues relationships that will help his heart. Listen, here's David. He is the king of Israel, the king of all the land. And he looks over all the land to see who will be part of his life. He can choose from anyone. Who are the people he looks for? He looks for those who are faithful. Those who are trying to walk in the direction that David wants to walk. Those who want to worship God with a pure heart too. That's what he's talking about. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me, spending time dwelling and being part of his life. But also he's looking for people who will work for him too. He's king. He's got a lot of people that have to help him, that work for him. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. What is the prerequisite? What is the requirement of somebody who wants to work for David? David says this. If you walk and live in the way that I, David, want to walk and live, then you can work for me. What's interesting is this. Noam, can you go back to verse 2? Look at the desire of David and how he wanted to live his life. He says this, I will behave myself wisely. How? In a perfect way. I will walk within my house. How? With a perfect heart. This is David's desire. And so what does he do? He surrounds himself with people who are going in the same direction that he is trying to go. Go back to verse 6. Go back to verse 6. We see, mine eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that what? Walketh in a perfect way. For those people who are trying to walk in the same direction that I am walking with, those are the people who I will put in my life. This is so helpful for us, isn't it? Protecting the purity of your heart is not just about protecting your heart from people who may hurt it. It is also about intentionally pursuing and spending time with people who will help your heart to grow in purity, to encourage you as you worship God and how you live. These relationships are like treasure. They're valuable. They help you. They're so important to you. Especially here in Japan right now, there are very few Christians among us. This makes this even more so. Finding and keeping relationships with people who encourage you, who strengthen you, who help you to walk in a perfect way, these are the relationships you should be fighting to protect. These are the relationships worth treasuring and nurturing, because these are the relationships that will help you to worship God with a pure heart. So when God sees you, he finds joy and pleasure, not just in your words, but in how you live life. You give him pleasure and joy. You bless his name in how you live. Finally, we're running out of time. Just as we protect our heart with what we see, just as we protect our heart with who we choose to spend time with, there's one more gate, one more area that we need to protect. And that is what or from whom we choose to listen to. This is basically what the last part of this chapter is focusing in on. Verse 5, let's go back to one verse. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Jump down to verse 7 and 8. It says similar things. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Verse 8. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Just as what you see affects your heart, just as who you spend time with affects your heart, so also what you hear affects your heart. What people say about other people affect how you think about those people, whether you realize it or not. What people say about other people affects how you think about them. David realizes this, and so he chooses to stay away from people who choose to bring others down or to lift themselves up at their expense. He's like, I am not having them in my house. I don't want to have anything to do with them. You lie, you slander somebody else, you're out. I don't want you in my life. He's strong. He's pretty strong. The words he uses here are pretty like, they're like hard, they're like pretty hard words, right? It's like, I'm cutting you off. Like, you're gone. Like, I'm going to destroy them. That's pretty serious. Why does he go to that extent? Maybe it's because he realizes that the lies of others actually reveal, the lies of others actually reveal a deeper truth about that person. When somebody lies, it reveals a deeper truth about that person. What is that truth? Their words actually are revealing their heart. That their heart is not pure and blameless. They are not walking on the same path that David is trying to work, to walk on. And so the heart, the words reveal the heart, and the heart will produce these wicked actions, the wickedness. And so David is like, I don't want you in my life. Because of that, David limits the access that these people have to his heart. He will not let them live in his house. He will not let them keep lying to him. Here's what's interesting about this verse 8. David says strong words here. I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. David doesn't just have the responsibility of protecting his own heart. As king, he has the responsibility of helping the people of whom God placed him over to again worship God in holiness and in purity. And we see over and over throughout the history of Israel, for those who chose not to protect, the kings who chose not to protect their people, how eventually they became corrupt. How? Because of who they chose to watch? Because of who they chose to spend time with? Because of who they chose to listen to? And it was David's desire that, listen, we are the city of the Lord. Jerusalem is the city of the Lord. We as a city, we as God's people should glorify him, not just with empty words in the temple, but with our very lives. And says, because of this, it's my responsibility to protect you. And so these are the words he says in a heart of protection for the people God placed under him. So here's my question. Looking through Psalm 101, we saw a lot of things, right? Worshiping God isn't just about our words, it's about our heart. And how we worship God with our heart is by worshiping him in purity and holiness, right? How do we do that? By protecting it. So here's my question to you. How are you protecting your heart? What are ways that you are protecting your heart? Does the worship of your heart match the worship of your words? Are you protecting your heart so that your life displays God's glory? Your heart and what flows out of it is valuable. It's valuable to your Creator, to your Redeemer, to your Father. He finds joy and pleasure, not just in your words, but also what you do when you're alone with him. How are you worshiping him? Will he find pleasure in how you're protect your heart from what you see, from who you spend time with, and what you choose to listen to? My hope is that you find value in protecting your heart, that you value your Creator, your Father enough, that you choose to protect your heart in a way that he finds joy and pleasure in. In so doing, not only will we be able to declare God's goodness in just our words, but also in our very lives as we display his glory by worshiping him in the beauty of holiness. This is God's desire. This is what he wants. This is what he wants his kids to be like. And so this is how we respond to how good and wonderful he is to us. Let's pray. Father, in many ways, the things that we have been reminded in Psalm 101 are not easy things to do. Hence, our need for you to be with us, your presence. In the times that we find ourselves where we assume we are alone, remind us that you are with us. In the times that we find ourselves weak, let your presence give us strength to be able to withstand temptations of our eyes, to withstand temptations of our ears, to withstand temptations of being with people who would hinder the most important relationship, which is you, our relationship with you. Help us. Oh, Father, be with us so that you can help us in our desire to not only worship you with our words, but also to worship you out of a pure heart that flows into a life of holiness. In Jesus' name, the one who makes all of this even possible through the blood that he shed on the cross and redeeming us for his own. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And it is in your name we pray this and ask our Father. Amen.